Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's for you. Kent Weekly has been with us before. He's a graduate of the Columbus College of Art and Design in Columbus, Ohio, which is rated as one of the top four design schools in the nation. After he graduated, he incorporated his at-home business, Blue Sky Graphic Communication Incorporated, and he's been doing that now for the last 12 years. Where he works at home with his wife, and he's got a lot of great clients, and he specializes, as I said, in graphic design, and he's been, as I think I mentioned, he's been with us before. Kent, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back with us. And folks, now, Kent, you're a home-based business owner, aren't you?
Correct.
All right. And
I'm working out a little room in my house, keeping the overhead down.
Right. Now, Kent, you've got two stories that I want you to talk to us about this hour. The first thing, let me just say that in the last part of the hour, toward the end of the hour, I want you to talk to the audience, to my audience, about being a home-based business owner, about how to run a business, the fact that just because you are an expert at graphic design and you can do that very well, that doesn't automatically mean that you can be successful in running your own graphic design business.
Right.
But we're going to save that toward the end of the hour. Right now, what I want to do is I want you to talk to us about working with clients in helping them develop their graphic design components of their marketing plan so that they make sure that they get the most for their money and they get the most marketing bang for the buck from their graphic design. And of course, graphic design, you pick up here with after I finish here, it's logos
Well, graphic design is pretty broad. I mean, I like to find a light bulb in the room and show the top of the light bulb, and usually there's a graphic on that, and that's been designed by a designer. I can, in a given room where there's no printed text or anything, I could probably find at least a couple dozen different things that a graphic designer did. So it's very broad. It goes from business cards. The obvious ones are business cards, letterhead, brochures, catalogs, magazines, website designs, multimedia nowadays, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that you see that's printed and designed has been in a print form is probably gone through the hands of a graphic designer.
Right. A figure, any kind of lines that are put together that you can recognize as belonging to someone. One of the things, you know, even a name can't sometimes. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but sometimes even a name with a certain color and written a certain way can become a graphic, can it?
Correct, definitely. And that would be considered a logo mark or a trademark. But, and even as a graphic designer, we have come up, helped companies develop names for products and services and actually names for their company. So we're basically, you know, if you think of a graphic designer as a creative outlet, and that's what it boils down to. We can basically help you with your creative needs.
The importance of someone might say, well, what do we need a graphic design for? What do I need graphics for? Well, you know, if you think about next time you go to a ball game or next time you watch a sporting event, count the number of impressions, and of course that's what it is when you see this graphic. Count the number of graphics, I should say, that you see around the walls or on the caps of the golfers or on the jerseys of the ball players or on their shoes or whatever.
Or go for a walk in the grocery store, and every product in there has been gone through the hands of a graphic designer.
And here's the thing, Kent, and this is what I like to point out to people. When you see Nike swoosh or when you see the word Coke, you don't really read Coke. You just see it.
Right.
So to speak, that's the first thing that happens, and if it flashes up in a millisecond, I mean a hundredth of a second, mm-hmm. You don't have to read that word. You know what it is because you recognize it.
Correct.
And that's a marketing impression, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And that's really key to every business, even the smaller businesses, is to develop recognition. And of course, in the smaller businesses, it's more difficult to get recognition in big sporting events and things like that. But around your community, you have your vehicles. If you have a nice, clean, crisp logo that's easily identifiable to your business, and it's on your vehicle, it's on your letterhead, it's on your shirt, you'll build up that recognition in your community or wherever you're doing business.
And after a while, when they see it the second time, they won't have to read everything that's on there. All they do is see your logo, and they'll say, well, there goes another one of their trucks.
Exactly. And it's really a subliminal conscious thing that's happening for the consumer or the person that's viewing that. It may be a little mom and pop shop, or it might be like myself working by myself with my wife out of our home. But if my logo keeps appearing, it gives me more credibility and makes people, you know, feel as if that I'm a substantial, credible business that they can work with.
Right. Exactly. Okay, Kent, we got a caller on the line. Let's see if we can get started on this one.
Okay.
Who we got, Chuck?
We got John in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
All right. Hi, John.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
All right. How you do, sir?
Good.
Welcome to the show. Say hi to Kent.
Hi, Kent. Hello, John.
What can we do for you? Sir?
I said excellent show.
Thank you very much. What can we do for you?
Well, I think I have an answer to the trivia question, or actually, I think I know all of them, but I'm fairly sure about two of them.
John, can you hang on? I've put you on the show here too close to a break. Can you hang on with us a little bit?
Certainly.
Okay, thank you very much. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're visiting with Kent Weekly. We're talking about graphic design, and we've got a caller named John. We'll be right back in just a minute. The phone number is 888-822-8255. Thank you very much for being with us today. We'll be right back. We are back. Thank you very much for joining us. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our friend Kent Weekly. We're talking about graphic design, the importance of graphic design, and how to make sure that if you have graphic design, that you get the most out of your graphics. And if you don't, we're going to ask you why you don't. Right, Kent?
Exactly.
And we've got a caller. His name is John. He's very patient, out of Gaithersburg, Maryland. And I bet you're listening, John, over WMET 1150.
That's correct.
All right. They're good folks over there at WMET. John, you're going to answer one of my trivia questions. I know you're a smart guy, and I know you're going to probably want to answer all three of them, but I want you to let me hold on to a couple of them for some other folks. So you pick out the one that you'd like to answer.
Okay.
One was about George Washington, the other one was Ann Sullivan, and the other one was Betty Davis.
Right. Well, I'll take the one about Ann Sullivan, I suppose.
Good for you.
And the person she was teaching was Helen Keller.
Yes. And tell us what happened.
I believe, at least what I remember from the movie, she had a breakthrough when she taught her about, was teaching her about water. Of course, Helen Keller was blind and deaf.
Yes.
And
therefore, initially, mute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she broke, do you remember how it happened, how she broke through her, and was able to connect with her?
I don't remember exactly, except I do remember that she had run the pump, it was running water over her hands.
She was trying to, she actually signed into the palm of her hand. Did you know that, Kent?
No, I did not.
She signed, she was using sign language, but mute people who can see your hands, obviously. Well, Helen Keller couldn't. And so she actually was forming the sign water into Helen Keller's hand, and she would run water over her hand, and that's how she broke through. You see, did I explain that properly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's an amazing amazing thing to think about.
Yeah,
being able to overcome those obstacles.
Well, and of course, as you know, I mean that one event. I mean that was the miracle, and that one event made all the difference in her life. And as we all know, Helen Keller made a difference in millions and millions of other people's lives. She became a beacon for people overcoming adversity. And John, I appreciate you calling in and giving us that information. We're going to send you a copy of Tim Berry's book called Hurdle, the book on business planning. What do you do for a living, John?
I'm a software engineer.
I see. Well, you might want to also stay tuned for the next hour, because Tim Berry is going to be with us, and he's going to talk to us about how he started his software company.
Okay, that sounds good.
That might be interesting. You have any questions for Kent before you go?
Kent, I guess a quick question. If you're just starting out a business or starting a home business, would you recommend engaging a graphic artist to perhaps help you in getting some recognition?
Oh, definitely, because what you're starting out on the foundation, what you really need to do is establish a nice, clean logo. What a lot of businesses will do is come up with a name and then kind of scribble a little logo out and then start rolling it out. And before they know it, they start getting bigger, and they still have this old logo that doesn't quite represent them very well or doesn't look very professional. And then at that point, it's more difficult to change over. Whereas if you're starting out, you're more apt to start. It helps build confidence as well amongst your staff and amongst yourself, and have this nice clean appearance that you're constantly going out and showing people on your brochures and letterhead and business cards. I would definitely recommend at least getting the foundation work of a logo from the very beginning.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling, and keep listening, and don't forget to give Chuck your information so we can send you a copy of Tim's book.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, John. See you later. All right, 888-822-8255. That's the phone number to call if you'd like to join us and answer one of our trivia questions. Still have two more, or if you want to call and ask me a question or our guest, special guest, Kent Weekly, we're talking about graphic design and logos and things like that are part of your marketing package that help you to take your product and service to the marketplace. Kent, let's talk. Something that John said kind of made me think. He said, you know, starting out, should you make contact with a graphic designer? And obviously you recommended that he do, and I would have done the same thing. But you and I both know, I mean, I don't know if you have, but I'm pretty sure you have. I've seen people who just really were concerned about how much money they had to spend initially on that sort of thing, on the design of their logos, their letterheads, mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. And some of them actually plan to spend too much money, I thought, at the very beginning.
Right. Well, I got two answers for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, hang on to both of them, because I'm going to let you give them when we come back after these messages. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Kent Weekly is our special guest. When we come back, he's going to tell us how much money should you spend when you start out your business on logo design. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. Our special guest this hour is our good friend Kent Weekly. Kent is the president of Blue Sky Graphic Communication Incorporated. Kent, tell our audience how they can contact you.
You can contact me. You've got a phone number. It's 352-861-8000. Or you can reach us via the Internet at www.blueskygraphic.com. And that's graphic is singular.
And wait about 30 minutes to call him, folks, because I'm talking to him right now.
That's right.
And Kent, we were talking, and thank you for that, folks, Kent, and I'll let you tell our audience that address and number again in just a little bit.
Great.
But when we took a break, and by the way, we've got another caller on the line. We're going to get to them right away. But when we took the break, you said, I asked you about how much should you plan to spend when you start a business. I've seen people come to me And actually, Kent, I hate to say this, but by the time they got to me, they'd already spent $1,000 with somebody who designed them some graphics, and they'd never sold one thing yet. They didn't even have a business yet.
Right.
And that, I was very upset about that.
Right. Well, that's a tough one to say. I mean, it's all going to depend on the business, and it's going to depend on what the person really needs and what's going on an individual basis. But there's two things to counter this. One thing is what our business does, and which many good graphic design businesses do, is that we set a fixed ceiling quote, which is I come to you and sit down, and we talk about the logo you need or the brochure that you need, and we discuss all the details of it, and we're really communicating as far as what this thing is going to look like. Mm-hmm. That way I've got a good feel as far as what it's going to take for me to produce it. I'll come back to you and say, this is the price. I won't exceed this price unless there's drastic changes that are made on your part.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 12 years, I haven't had to change the price on anyone. And that's, I found, it creates a great comfort level between myself and my clients. They're not nervous during the whole creative process, encumbering, hurting my ability to create, calling me every day asking me how many hours I've spent.
Right.
Now, the other thing is kind of a secret that I don't want to let out too much, but it's really... For those people that live in larger cities...
This will just be between you and me, Kent.
Yeah, and your audience, of course. But for the folks that live in the cities that are fortunate enough to have a good art school or design school, many times you can contact their student affairs office and ask for students that would be available to do various projects for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with a designer, like any other kind of professional, you're paying for experience, and experience is time. So... the longer someone's out there and the more work they've done for somebody else, the most likely the higher the price they charge. But as a student, you can imagine you would get fair prices. And actually, this is how I started. At the Columbus College mm-hmm. of Art and Design in Columbus, Ohio, we had a great student affairs office that would field calls from the community. And we'd get projects. The students that were aggressive enough to get in there and really deal with the people that wanted the projects done were able to get decent projects. And typically they were small, little projects, but every once in a while something really nice would crop up.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do it at unbelievably reasonable prices, but at the same time as building up our experience. So it's something to consider.
You know, Kent, my point over the $1,000 example I gave a minute ago was not that $1,000 was too much to pay for the work that they got. I'm sure that the people got $1,000 worth of work. But I would like to think that if someone came to you, Kent, and they hadn't done any business at all, I mean, they basically hadn't even gotten out of the ground yet, but yet they had in their mind that they wanted to see their graphic, they wanted to see their little brochure and all that stuff in their hands before they'd actually bought a piece of a stick of inventory or anything. I would like to think that a graphic designer that you or anyone else like in your profession, before you charge them $1,000 to do that, I would like to think you would say, you know, maybe this is not the best way to spend your first $1,000.
Right. I'm very uncomfortable in those situations because I don't like taking money from somebody that potentially is going to lose it all. I can understand the point.
And of course, now you're in business, and I'm not saying you should. If the guy says, look, I want a logo, that's really important to me, then heck, lay it on him. No, I don't have a problem with that.
But you see what I'm getting at.
Some people need to be helped a little bit along those lines, and I'm sure you would do that, and that's what I was disappointed in. Kent, let's stop for a second and take a caller. Chuck, who we got?
The John in Fordyce, Arkansas.
Another John in yes. Fordyce, Arkansas. How you doing, John?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Say hello to Kent Weekly.
Yeah, hello, Ken.
Hello, John.
And enjoy listening to you talk. I know logos probably sell products as much sometimes as the product that, you know, themselves, even, mm-hmm. you know, identify them. Like you say, you see the Coke or, you know, within a millisecond.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I was going to try the Betty Davis question.
Yeah, what about her?
I think it's her eyes.
The Betty Davis eyes. Remember Kim Carnes' song, Betty Davis Eyes? And actually, someone else sang it before her, I think. But back in about 81 or 82, Kim Carnes did a song called the Betty Davis Eyes song. Man, that was a haunting song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that. Well, good for you, John. You mind telling us what you do?
Well, I'm a pharmacist.
A pharmacist?
Yes, sir.
Well, you see logos all the time, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Big pharmaceutical logos.
Yeah, most of them are.
Are you self-employed?
Identifiable, you know, just by first glance.
Right.
Right.
Are you self-employed, John?
No, I work for a gentleman.
Right. All right. Well, you work for a small pharmacist then?
Right.
Well, you're part of small business then?
Yes, sir.
No question about it. Is there anything we can do to help you?
Oh, well, no. I just enjoyed listening to your show.
I appreciate it. How are you listening?
Our radio station here, KBJT.
KBJT. All right. We appreciate them. Uh-huh. John, please let us know if there's anything we can do to help you.
All right, sir.
And I appreciate you joining us.
Okay,
thank you very much. All right, folks, stay tuned, John, by the way, so we can get your address and everything. We're going to send you a copy of Tim Berry's book called Hurdle, the book on business planning. It's 39 after the hour, folks. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. I'll be right back with our good friend Kent Weekly. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about graphic design, especially what it takes to be in the business of graphic design. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 44 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a lot of fun with our good friend Kent Weekly. Kent is the president of Blue Sky Graphic Communication Incorporated. He's an expert in graphic design, helping people to make the most of their logos and their graphics in their marketing material. Kent, give our audience one more time. Give us your address, your website address, and your phone number, please.
Phone number is 352-861-8000, and the web address is www.blueskygraphic.com.
A lot of the work that you do, Kent, is on websites, isn't it?
Yeah, and in the last couple of years, we've shifted dramatically from print material to interactive multimedia involving the web and also interactive CD-ROMs.
And, of course, you can do any graphic design virtually over the Internet. In other words, someone could do business with you on the other side of the world through the Internet, but especially the Internet work.
We do it every day. We're based in Central Florida, and we have clients in New York City, in Ohio, in Illinois, We've even got some international clients, and we do it all via internet or overnight mail and faxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite fun.
Check him out, folks. I'm impressed with Ken. I think you will be too. Give him a shot if you have anything that you'd like to him to talk to you about. And I'm sure, Ken, you would be glad to just interview people and talk to them at first and see if there's anything you can do to help them without charging them initially.
Oh, certainly. Like any good professional business, we'd be more than glad to sit down and talk.
Good.
And there's no fee for that, of course.
Great. I'm glad to hear that, and I appreciate it. 888-822-8255. There's still time to get one more call in if you want to call in, folks. Ken, let's talk about, some of the things that you've experienced with people who've asked you to do work for them, and they just didn't have their stuff together, or for whatever reason, they just didn't know how to work with a graphic designer. And by using that example, we can teach other people how to approach graphic designers, how to deal with them, and how to make sure that you get the most for your money.
Well, one thing is that a graphic designer is a person obviously coming up with graphics and art and creative aspects. The other thing, too, is that they need to think of a graphic designer as almost like a spy, so to speak, in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
in that they work with many other businesses and have been gathered quite a bit of information from that in their experiences. I've got one great example of I've got a client that is a pet store franchisee that I'd worked with for several years, and they had this dilemma where they're getting beaten up by the larger warehouse stores, and they had about 180 stores across the country, and each one's individually owned by a franchisor, and the problem was they wanted to go head-to-head with the warehouse stores mm-hmm. on pricing. So they came to me and they said, we need to do this wonderful, you need to sit down and design this wonderful poster that's going to say how wonderful our prices are. It needs to be big, bold, and loud. And so it was...
He wanted you to be a miracle worker, didn't he?
Exactly. And with my experience of working with that company and working with other companies, I really stepped back from it and became more of a consultant than a graphic designer and said, you know, what is our niche here? What is this company's true niche? Is it pricing? And the answer was clearly no, because mm-hmm. this company was going to get beaten up by the warehouse pricing. And they had a history of the warehouse stores actually opening up across the street from some of the bigger stores of theirs and basically just beating them up on price. But their biggest niche was the fact that they would take each one of their employees, which they actually called pet counselors, and the reason being is they would go through a 2 to 3 week training program before they could even talk to a customer.
Mm.
And the training program involved getting to know everything about every animal and their needs and,
mm-hmm.
and of course, what products go with those needs and how to, you know, really make a sale. So that's what we played up on. And instead of designing the bright, bold, kind of gaudy sale poster,
we sell for less.
Exactly. We actually created a character, which the other thing, too, of course, the pet counselors and the employees wore kind of like safari-type uniforms on a regular
yeah.
basis, kind of
uh-huh.
a khaki-type color uniform. So we created a character called Safari Stan. It was actually an animated cartoon character.
Mm-hmm.
And we really played up the aspect that the store has the knowledge that you're not going to be able to get across the street at the warehouse store. And what it did in turn, it boosted the confidence of the pet counselors. It boosted the confidence and the excitement of the store owners, the individual store owners. And it's a campaign that's been going on for almost 6 years now.
Well, that's such an excellent story, Ken. There's so many stories inside of that story for small business owners. Number one, if you're a little company, don't try to outprice the big companies. You're going to lose 99 times out of 100.
Right.
And don't forget why people are coming in your little shop, in your small business. They're coming in there because of you, because of your employees, and because of what you know, not because of your price.
Exactly.
You've got to make sure that you recognize that. Kent, that was an excellent story. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 50 after the hour, folks. When we come back, we're going to take a few minutes and let Kent tell us about how to be in the graphic design business. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. You're listening to the show that is dedicated to helping small business owners and small business dreamers have the maximum opportunity to succeed. And our special guest who is helping us to do that this hour is Kent Weekly. Kent is the president of Blue Sky Graphic Communications Incorporated. out of, is it Ocala, Florida? Is that,
yeah,
is that right?
Ocala, Florida.
And tell us your website and your phone number again.
Yeah, the website is www.blueskygraphic.com.
All together, all spelled out.
Yeah, and graphic is singular.
Okay.
And the phone number is 352-861-8000.
Check it out, folks. I recommend you do that. And Kent, let's take, as we come up, we're coming up on the end of the hour, and we only have a couple of minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that people who are listening are thinking, you know, I'm pretty good with a pen, or I'm pretty good with graphic design on the computer, and I'd like to try my hand at doing this for a living. Being able to do it, being able to produce the product, might mean that you are a good graphic designer, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you will be a good business person in that business.
Yeah,
two different things, right?
Exactly. Well, I can give you, I'd kind of go through a quick little rundown of what it kind of takes for me to do it. Number one, you got to be able to listen to people, and you got to listen to what their needs are. Number two, you got to get organized. You got to be very organized, very disciplined. Get up in the morning, and when you need to work on a brochure that's not so interesting, you got to be able to do it and deliver on a deadline. That's, and of course, another aspect is hitting deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
One of the little tricks that I do too, by the way, is if I know I can get a project done by, say, Wednesday, I'll tell my client that I will have it for you Friday,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of pads time for me.
Good move.
And what happens, and the nice thing is, if I get it done Wednesday, I'll deliver it Wednesday or maybe even Thursday.
Yeah.
And I got a happy client. Because
absolutely.
Only
next time they'll expect it early, though. You got to watch them about that.
Exactly. And you need to be disciplined about your billing procedures, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the general rule is about 6 months of savings. I typically keep almost a year's worth of savings just because of the volatility of my business.
Now, when you say savings, tell us what you mean by that.
I mean, I have 12 months worth of, if I didn't get another job for the next 12 months, I would be able to pay all my taxes and all my bills, utility bills, property taxes, everything,
right.
and provide food for my family
mm-hmm.
in the 12 months. And
that's a real important point there, Tim, and I really am glad you mentioned that. That's critical. And you know, you're someone else might be comfortable with 6 months or 3 months or might be more comfortable with 2 years, but the point is that you've got to have some working capital, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you, the other hidden benefit from that is that it buys you freedom. You're not sitting there worried and panicked and taking whatever job you need to make the ends meet for this month because you know you've got a little bit of leeway. And in that, I was able to produce an interactive CD-ROM for the Chicago Cubs, which is a sellable product that's available to the Cubs. It took me a year and a half to develop. And in the time that it took me that year and a half, I didn't receive a dime. Actually, I had to pay out several $1,000s for royalty
wow.
and usage for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to buy the time for that year and a half and work on that project as well as deal with my clients. And I had the freedom and the cushion from that savings put away.
Very smart, very smart. You know, one of the biggest mistakes, Kent, as we come up on the end of the hour here, one of the biggest mistakes I see people make is once they decide they want to be in small business, they want to be in it right now.
Right.
They don't want to wait. They don't want to plan. They don't want to set aside a cushion like you did. And that's a big mistake, isn't it?
Right. Well, I'm naturally a kind of a worrywart, so and that worrywart kind of, you know, do that sort of thing. But yeah, it definitely helps, and it's planning ahead is the key focus with this. And really, you've got to be able to change hats quickly. I mean, there was a time just a few months ago where I was doing work for a fire truck manufacturer.
Kent, pardon me.
No,
you're going to have to tell us that story next time you come.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure having you with us, Kent. You did a great job today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
See you later.
All right, take care.
All right, folks, I've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.